الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله شديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الناس، المناسبات في حياة الناس على قسمين، أفراح وأتراح. قال الأزهري: والعيد عند العرب الوقت الذي يعود فيه الفرح والحزن. وقد راعى الإسلام احتياج ما عند البشرية من غريزة لاستفراغ ذلك المخزون من العواقب التي تميز بها البشر عن غيرهم، فأذن لهم أن يحتفوا بأمكنة وأزمنة خصصها الشارع لهم، ولم يأذن لهم بإحداث غيرها من المناسبات، لا في الأزمان ولا في الأمكان ولا في الأماكن، بل ولا عبارات التهنئة. فقد قيد الشرع ذلك كله بضوابط تكفر لهم عدم تلاعب الشياطين بهم لإبعادهم عن مراضي ربهم. فمن ذلك ما ثبت عند أبي داود والنسائي عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال: قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة ولهم يومان يلعبون فيهما في الجاهلية، فقال: إن الله قد أبدلكم بهما خيرا منهما، الفطر ويوم الأضحى. فلا يحتفى بيوم ولا مناسبة خلا هذين اليومين، لا على مستوى الأفراد كعيد الميلاد وعيد الزواج وخلافه، ولا على مستوى الأمم كعيد النيروز أو عيد الغدير أو عيد ميلاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو الإسراء والمعراج أو ليلة النصف من شعبان أو رأس السنة وإن كانت السنة الهجرية. فلا تجوز التهنئة إلا بهذين اليومين، حيث أن الصحابة كانوا يهنئون بعضهم بعضا بهما قائلين: تقبل الله منا ومنكم، كما قال الحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله تعالى في فتح الباري، قال: وروينا في المحامليات بإسناد حسن عن جبير بن نفير أنه قال: كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا التقوا يوم العيد يقول بعضهم لبعض: تقبل الله منا ومنكم. وقال الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى: إسناد حديث أبي أمامة إسناد جيد. وقد سئل الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى عن التهنئة بالعام الهجري الجديد، فأجاب بقوله: لا نعرف هذا لأبدا، والتاريخ الهجري ليس المقصود منه هذا أن يجعل رأس تاريخا تعرف به الرسائل وكتاباتها. استشار الصحابة فأشاروا عليه أن يجعل الهجرة مبدأ التاريخ الهجري وعدلوا عن التاريخ الميلادي مع أنه كان موجودا في وقتهم، وأخذوا الهجرة يجعلوها مبدأ تاريخ المسلمين لأجل معرفة الوثائق والكتابة فقط، ليس من أجل أن تتخذ مناسبة ويتكلم فيها، هذا يتدرج إلى البدع. انتهى كلامه حفظه الله. وقال الشيخ محمد الصالح العثيمين رحمه الله في كتابه الضياء اللامع للخطب الجوامع، قال: ليس من السنة أن نحدث عيدا لدخول السنة الهجرية أو نعتاد التهاني ببلوغه. وما قيل في الاحتفال والتهنئة بالعام الجديد يقال أيضا بما يفعل هذه الأيام من وسائل التهنئة بيوم الجمعة والدعاء المسجوع المتكلف فيها، مع أن القاعدة الأصولية تنص على أن ما وجد سببه بعهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يفعله هو ولم يقره من أحد من أصحابه فإن فعله بدعة، وبدعة يأثم بها. هذا ما نص عليه أهل العلم قديما وحديثا. وكما في خطبة الحاجة التي قدمنا بها خطبتنا اليوم يؤكد صلى الله عليه وسلم أن كل بدعة ضلالة، فأي خير يهديه الأخ لأخيه برسائل الجوال أو رسائل بريدية أو إلكترونية تحمل في طياتها ما ليس من السنة، بل ما قد يكون فيه هدم للسنة، لأنه كما قال أئمة السلف: من أحدث في هذا الدين بدعة فقد أعان على هدم السنة. وكما قال مالك بن أنس إمام دار الهجرة رحمه الله تعالى: من أحدث في هذا الدين بدعة يراها حسنة فقد زعم أن محمدا خان الرسالة. وقد يقول قائل: إننا لا نريد بهذه الرسائل والتهنئات قربة إلى الله، وإنما هي أمور اعتيادية. فنقول: الأصل في التهنئات، الأصل في المناسبات التي يحتفى بها أنها تعبدية ولا يمكن أن تكون عادية. فمثلا لو أن إنسانا كلما مر اليوم الذي عقد فيه قرانه على زوجته جاءها بهدية فيه تخصيصا، فإنه قد اتخذ ذلك اليوم عيدا. ونبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أبدل ما وجد عليه الكفار من أهل الجاهلية في مكة ومن اليهود لما قدم عليهم المدينة، حيث كانوا يحتفون بيومين أبدلهما الله عز وجل يومين غيرهما. وهكذا لما أتاه الرجل فقال: إني نذرت أن أذبح إبلا ببوانة. قال: هل فيها من قبر يعبد؟ قال: لا. قال: هل فيها من عيد يعاد؟ قال: لا. قال: فوف بنذرك، فلو كان فيها من عيد لما أذن له، مع أن النذر ملزم وأنه واجب. لذلك يا أحبتي في الله لنحذر من هذه الأمور، ونعلم أن بعض الناس قد يرى في هذا تشددا، وقد سمعنا في مثل هذه العبارات أن هذا من التشدد والتضييق. ونقول كما قال السلف: من لم يسع هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه فلا وسع الله عليه، ومن رأى أن فيه تضييقا فنسأل الله أن ويضيق عليه صدره وأن يضم عليه قبره، فإن انتقاص السنة انتقاص للدين يا أحبتي في الله. فاحذروا والزموا هدي نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم تهتدوا وتفلحوا وتنجوا يوم القيامة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. رسول الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أيها الأحبة في الله، الشارع الحكيم لم يظلم تطلعات الناس إلى الاحتفال والابتهاج والسرور، لذلك جعل لكل مناسبة حقها. فيوم الجمعة في الإسلام غير مهمل، فإن الله عز وجل كما ثبت في الصحيح أنه سبحانه وتعالى أضل عنه اليهود والنصارى وهدى له أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فأنتم يا عباد الله لم تعرفوا يوم الجمعة بذكاء منكم ولا خارقة عندكم، إنما هو الله عز وجل الذي دلكم عليه وعلى ما فيه من فضائل. ولذلك لزم أن تأتسوا بهدي نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم فيه، فإن له هديا في يوم الجمعة. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: أكثروا علي من الصلاة ليلة الجمعة ويوم الجمعة. فالهدي هو أن يكثر الإنسان من الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا أن يرسل بالرسائل جمعة مباركة وأدعية مسجوعة وأمور عجيبة ويترك ما هو مأمور به من الإكثار من الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهكذا قد بين صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرا آخر يوم الجمعة، فإنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر الأمة أمرا قد يكون يصل إلى الإيجاب في بعض الأحيان، وإن كان هو الاستحباب أقرب، أن يبكروا بالحضور ليوم الجمعة، حتى إنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قد دل على ذلك بقوله: من أتى في الساعة الأولى، من راح في الساعة الأولى فكأنما قرب بدنه، ومن راح في الساعة الثانية فكأنما قرب بطره، ومن راح في الساعة الثالثة فكأنما قرب شمشا، ومن راح في الساعة الرابعة فكأنما قرب دجاجة، ومن راح في الساعة كأنما قرب بيضة ثم تطوى السجلات. فأين الذين يستعيدون ويشمرون عن ساعد الجلد في أمور ليست هي من السنة، ثم هم يدعون السنة مهجورة؟ أين هم من التبكير إلى دور العبادة، إلى بيوت الله؟ وقاموا الجمع وقدموا إلى أمر آخر يكون في يوم الجمعة، فمن أراد أن يجتهد فيه فليجتهد في ذلك، ألا وهو قراءة سورة الكهف. وقد داوم وذلك في صحيح مسلم: أعنى وقد اعتى أيام أخر كيوم عرفة وستة أيام من شوال والاثنين والخميس والأيام البيض. هكذا يجب على المسلم أن يعتسي برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لكل عمل شرة، أي كل شرة فكرة، أي انخفاض وفتور. فمن كان فكرته إلى سنتي فقد اهتدى، يعني أن الإنسان إذا لزم سنة في حال النشاط والكسل لا يخرج عنها في النشاط فيزيد عليها، ولا يخرج عنها في الكسل فينقص عنها، فإن هذا لا يزال بخير وينتقل من خير إلى خير ما بقي على ذلك. وقد اعتنى الشارع الحكيم بمطلع السنة كما يقولون، فهذا الشهر المبارك شهر الله المحرم قد وردت فيه أحاديث كثر. ففي صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم، وأفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل. فمن أراد أن يجتهد في عبادة في مطلع العام كما يقولون فليجتهد في الصيام في شهر الله الحرام. والواضح معنى صوم شهر الله المحرم ما جاء في صحيح مسلم أيضا من حديث عبد الله بن شقيق رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قلت لعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها: أكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم شهرا كله؟ قالت: ما علمت صلى منه حتى مضى لسبيله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أي حتى قبض ورفع إلى ربه. وكذلك قصد صوم يوم عاشوراء، وهو اليوم العاشر من شهر الله المحرم، كما قال أنه قال: ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحرى صيام يوم فضله على غيره إلا هذا اليوم، يوم العاشر، وهذا الشهر يعني شهر رمضان. أورده البخاري في صحيحه. وعن أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: صيام يوم عاشوراء احتسب. رواه مسلم. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بصيام عاشوراء يوم العاشر، رواه الترمذي وصححه الالباني. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه، وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرأى اليهود تصوم يوم عاشوراء، فقال: ما هذا؟ قالوا: هذا يوم صالح، هذا يوم نجى الله بني إسرائيل من عدوهم فصامه موسى. قال: فأنا أحق بموسى منكم، فصامه وأمر بصيامه، رواه البخاري. وقد أخرج أحمد من وجه آخر عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما زيادة في سبب صيام اليهود له، وحاصله أن السفينة، أي سفينة نوح، استوت على الجودي فيه، فصامه نوح وموسى شكرا. أورده ابن حجر في فتح الباري. وعن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه قال: كان يوم عاشوراء تعده اليهود عيدا، فقال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فصوموا وأنتم. وذلك في صحيح البخاري. وذلك لأن الأصل في أيام العيد أنها لا تصام، ولما كنا قد أمرنا بمخالفة اليهود والنصارى فأمرنا بمخالفتهم في يوم عيدهم الذي لا يصومونه، فنصومه نحن، فنصومه نحن. وعن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: حين صام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم عاشوراء وأمر بصيامه، قالوا: يا رسول الله، إنه يوم تعظمه اليهود والنصارى. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: فإذا كان العام المقبل إن شاء الله صمنا اليوم التاسع. قال: فلم يأتي العام المقبل حتى توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، رواه مسلم بصحيحه. فيا عباد الله، من أراد أن يجتهد بالطاعات في هذا الشهر فليجتهد بالصوم، وليخص من ذلك صوم يوم العاشر، والأولى أن يأتي بصوم يوم التاسع معه، وذلك يوم الأربعاء والخميس المقبلين بإذن الله تعالى من سنتنا هذه الثانية والثلاثين بعد الأربعمائة والألف من الهجرة. فمن أراد أن يصوم ويأتسي برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فليصم يوم الأربعاء والخميس، فيوافق يوم التاسع والعاشر. وإن لم يقدر صام يوم الخميس والجمعة، فيكون ذلك صوم العاشر والحادي عشر. فإن لم يقدر إلا يوما واحدا، صام يوم العاشر وهو يوم الخميس. نسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يعيننا جميعا على ذكره وشكره وحسن عبادته، ويجعلنا وإياكم من خير عباده، وأن يجعل الجنة مثوانا ومثوى والدينا وأزواجنا وذرارينا. اللهم إنا نسألك الإيمان الكامل والعمل الصالح واليقين الصادق والقلب الخاشع واللسان الذاكر. اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك المخلصين المذنحين الرحماء المرحومين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم امن على أمة الإسلام بعز تعز به على سائر الأمم، وامن على مليكنا وخادم البيتين خادم الحرمين الشريفين بالشفاء العاجل، ورده إلينا ردا جميلا يا رب العالمين. اللهم ألبسه ثوب العافية والصحة، وكذلك اللهم افعل بولي عهده. اللهم امن عليهم بصحة وعمر مديد بطاعتك، يعز فيه أهل طاعتك في هذه البلاد، فاجعلهم كذلك في سائر البلاد يا رب العباد. اللهم اللهم واهد جميع ولاة أمور المسلمين لتحكيم شرعك والائتساء بسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم، واجعلهم رحمة لرعاياهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم وارزق علينا المسجد الأقصى، وارزقنا فيه صلاة مقبولة عندك يا ربنا. اللهم أنزل علينا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم أنزل علينا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم أنزل علينا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم غيثا مغيثا سحا غدا طبقا مجللا. اللهم اجعله على رؤوس الجبال وبطون الأودية ومنابت الزرع. اللهم أحيي به البلاد واجعله رحمة وسقيا للحاضر وبلاغا للحاضر والباد برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه، وثنى فيه ملائكة المسبحين بقدسه، وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وأنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وأنعم على نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، فالله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Thank you.
الله أكبر.
يعجبهم التحرك في المدن اتواح كانت السيارات وهو الساكن غيرت السيارات يعني مكانت الشحنة هو الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه
occasions and congratulations in Islam. And after the khutbah of Hajj, I said, oh mankind, there are occasions and celebrations in the life of mankind which are of two types. One occasions of happiness and the other is occasions of sadness. And the Imam al-Azhari, one of the Imams of the Arab language, said that the Eid, the definition of the Eid, is the Eid to the Arabs is the time in which that happiness and sadness comes back rarely every year or every cycle of time. And then I said, Islam did not ignore this type of need for mankind so that they can discharge their emotion which they have stored in their hearts, which Allah Ta'ala distinguished them from other creations like animals and solids by it. So Allah Ta'ala permitted them to celebrate places and times, but which He, Allah Ta'ala, have named and mentioned. It is not left to them, to establish whatever occasions that they want to celebrate annually. Nor that places that they can visit for a purpose of celebration annually. However, or nevertheless, statements of congratulating are not left for them to choose whatever they like. But all were determined by Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that, this can be a time of security that the shayateen would not misguide people and drive them away from the right path that Allah Ta'ala has been with them with. And from these evidences that Imam Abu Dawood and Nasa'i reported in their books of Sunnah on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina and found the people there celebrating 2 days which they used to celebrate during the time of Jahiliyyah. He then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the believers, may Allah have replaced you and replaced them for you with other 2 days, the day of Al-Fitr, which is the Eid of Ramadan, and the day of Al-Adha, which is the 10th of the Hijjah. So there will be no any other days for us to celebrate annually. Every time it comes, we celebrate. No days, no occasions, no places other than these 2 days. For the individuals, as the birthdays or merge days, as they call them, or any other occasions that they may invent and innovate for themselves to celebrate. And as I said in the khutbah, for example, if it is today, the day in which you have married your wife last year, some people for this occasion, he goes and brings a gift for his wife, which is good. To give a gift to your wife, this is something good. But it becomes an evil because you made it to be in this particular day. Why not in other days? Why you intend to do it in this day? Then you are considering this day as a day of blessing, which you have no any proof for that. So for that we say this is not permissible. And also it is not permissible for nations or governments or whatsoever to celebrate. The way that nations celebrate, for example, what the Rawabid do, like the day of the Nehruz, which is the beginning of the first day in the year, and the day of Al-Ghadir, as they call it, and any other days, even the national days, as the ulama have spoken about, like Sheikh Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen and others. We said that celebrating the national day is not from the Sunnah, and this is not permissible. It is not permissible to take it as a day that you take it as a Eid. Every year you celebrate in there. So there is no Eid other than the 2 Eids, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Whether you call it Eid or whatever you call it, it means a day that in which you, you become happy and you try to make everyone around you happy just because this day some type of good incident occurred in it. This is not permissible for Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Know that the congratulations are allowed for any occasions that comes annually except Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Now, as the Sahaba used to congratulate each other on the day of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha saying, and by the way, it is on them, not before them. Because many people today can violate each other just before the day of Eid. Just before the day of Eid. As if they know that this person is going to be alive tomorrow on the day of Eid. Which is not correct. You do not celebrate, you do not violate a day until it comes. Until it comes. And that's what the Sahaba used to do. They did not used to congratulate each other on the 28th or 29th of the of Ramadan. Nor that they congratulate each other on the 8th or the 9th of the Hijjah. But on the day of Eid. After they prayed the Eid, according to Ibn Hajar, رحمه الله تعالى, and Fath al-Bari Volume 2, page 446. In the other book called At-Tahniyah Congratulations, or Congratulating, page 34-40, he said, and we have been, and it was reported to us, and the Asanid called Muhammadiyat, there was a boy who said that the companions of Rasulullah used to, whenever they meet on the day of Eid, whenever they meet on the day of Eid, they used to say to each other, Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. And he said, and also it was reported in the book of At-Tuhfa by a good chain of narrations to Muhammad ibn Ziyad al-Alhani, who said, I saw Aba Umamah al-Bahili, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying on the day of Eid to his companion, Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum, may Allah accept from us and you. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala said about this isnad, the isnad of الحديث of Abi Umamah is إسناد جيد and is good إسناد. It was well known to every one of you. May Allah preserve him. He said when he was asked about the congratulating of the new Hijra year, he said, we do not know any asal for this. We do not know any fundamental for this, any proof for this. Meaning, it was not used during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that it was used during the companions, the time of the companions. And he said that, and the Hijra calendar is only made for a purpose. It is not made for that the first day of the year become a day of celebration or Eid, nor that it is the day in which we congratulate each other. Verily, it is only made to distinguish the time of contract, the time of registrations, recordings, like that. As Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه, when the Khilafah at his time, the territory of Islam expanded, and the letters used to come to him from the governors of the Muslim territories, but it used to come to him without any dates. Without any dates. So he then needed to put a date. So he consolidated that with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were alive at his time, and they all migrated from Mecca to Medina. They said, it is better you take this day. Not for it to be a celebration, just to make a fixed day that in which we properly, they would. Now I ask you, is the day Rasulullah migrated from Mecca to Medina, was it in Muharram? It wasn't in Muharram. It was not in Muharram at all. It was not in Muharram. It was in Rabi'. So why is it celebrated in Muharram? Allah knows this. But it was said that they say to him, it is better that you make it right after Hajj, as people just come from Hajj fresh, so it become a new year for them, but not to use it as a celebration day or month or whatsoever. And then Hazimahullah Sheikh Razan continued saying, and they have abandoned the Gregorian calendar. They have stopped using the Gregorian calendar. Not like today. Today most of the Muslims only know the Hijra calendar for celebrating Milad al-Rasul, the birthday of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the middle of the 27th of Rajab, as they say that this is the day in which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was raised in the heavens, and Mi'raj, and they call it Shabi Mi'raj, and they celebrate the middle of Shaban. They say it is the night in which Allah sends down the systems, and they call it Shabi Barak. All this is nonsense and nothing, and they also celebrate the first day of the year. They use the calendar just for that. Other than that, you ask any Muslim in the world, what is the day today? They immediately change the calendar, or it is the 10th of December. Why, Akhi? Don't you have a calendar? Don't you have a calendar? They say, the Gregorian. Akhi, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. The Hijra calendar, exact days of the week are 7. They never can be 6. You still can know it. Now, to use the Gregorian calendar, but it is a crime not to know your calendar too. It's a crime, Akhi. No boat, Akhi. Why is it no boat? Now, easy you can buy like these watches, has two of them, and every day you just see a 10th of December, just in which it tells you it is the 4th of Dhul Hijjah. Simple, easy. So you know, the 4th of Muharram, so you know the days of the year and the birth calendars, but to choose only the Gregorian calendar, what does that mean? Where is your identity? Where is your identity? Yeah? So we need to know. And that's why every Ramadan, every Shaban, many calls come from the West. Oh, did they declare the moon? Did they see the moon? Why? Because they don't know how to see the moon there. Because they don't know which day it is today. They don't know. When Eid comes, same thing. Why? It is because the Muslims have abandoned their history. I've abandoned the calendars. I've abandoned the whatsoever inherited from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his great companions. Which is shame. Really, it is very shameful. Very shameful not to know your history. Not to know your history. You got to know your history. You got to know your history. Now, and then. And then the Sheikh said it was only used, this Hijra calendar, it was only used to determine the days in which these letters were written and other things were registered like that. Sheikh Muhammad, and then he said, not to be taken as an occasion for celebration. He said then, this is going to descend them to the bid'ah. True, when they abandon the Hijra calendar only for celebrations, they have not many celebrations today, which Islam did not come with. Why? Because the abundance, what it is made for, and they went to something innovative. Naam? And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adami, rahimahullah ta'ala, said in his book, Al-Diya'ul Lami' Al-Khutab al-Jawami', Al-Khutab al-Jawami', page 702, he said, Laysa min al-Sunnah, it is not from the Sunnah, an nuhdith eidan lidukhul al-Sanat al-Hijriyah, that we invent and innovate Eid for the new year. It is not from the Sunnah. However, it is from the Bid'ah, it is from the exact imitation of the Kuffar. Because who does the celebration of the first day of the year? Nah? Sorry? Not only the Christians, it is even the Jews. The Jews, they have a day in which, I did not bring all the information, but it is there. They have a day in their calendar, they have their own calendar other than the Gregorian calendar. And they know it, by the way. They rule, know their calendar. They rule, know. And they wherever they are, in America, in Britain, in Germany, and anywhere in the world, they do what they heard. The Muslims, they are always balanced. They are not balanced, they are Christian. In fact, they are Christian to decide what pleases them. To please the others, not to please Allah Ta'ala. Which is wrong, therefore. It is not aggression, it is not extremism to say, I want to follow my religion. I'm not going to harm nobody. If I use the Hijri calendar, whom I'm going to harm? Whom I'm going to annoy? If I want to wear my own clothes, whom I'm going to harm? Why the Sikhs do not know the others? Why will the Muslim wear his scarf or ritual? And so it becomes something, yani, that drags the eyes, everybody looks, because they simply. So they find it strange to them. And they think that it is only culture, yani, a culture from ours. We do not wear this just because it's culture, no. It is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like it, used to wear it. That's it. The ulama wear it. That's why we wear it. Now, same thing with the woman. And every thing in our life is strange today. It's strange. Not because really it is we Muslims, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, warned against harshness and aggression and extremism. He the one who warned against it. Not only that, but he said to those who go very extreme in practicing the religion, they go extreme in practicing the religion, the Khawarij. The Khawarij are not people who hate the religion. No, Akhwan. They love the religion, but they went very extreme. They were very extreme. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before the Khawarij are found, only one man of them was found. He warned against them, and he said that if I say alive until I find him, I will kill them the way that Samud and Ad were killed. They are. For people and I let them there worship in something, worship Allah in a way that is yani, very incredible. Why? Because they fast a lot, they pray a lot, they recite the Quran a lot. But they go very sweet. They go very sweet. Ever since Kubur, Kabul, I'll kill it. Yes, and when it comes to this, it does not mean from this extremism. Why? Because it is from our religion to fight them. It is from our religion to fight them. But for the others, for the non-Muslims, for the kuffar, to tell me that if I wear my burqa, this is extremism, I don't accept that at all. I don't accept that. If they tell me, when my wife wore her abaya, this is extremism, I don't accept that. When they say using the Hijra calendar, then this is extremism, I don't accept that at all. I don't accept that. So, this way we are balanced, but not by abandoning our Sharia, our law of Islam. No. We have to follow our law of Islam. And it's not correct to say that it is extremism when you kill the person who killed some people. They say, okay, yeah, Muslim, this is not correct to kill him. He's human, he has a right to live. What about those who killed animals? Ants? They have no right to live. Their families have no any feelings, no any emotions. Yeah, but we're gonna lock him up. Where? You lock him up in a paradise. You lock him up in a place where he has air conditioning, computer, internet, whatever, basketball team, whatever he wants. Is this the justice? So we have to be balanced. And when we say we be balanced, we do not be extremist. But we do not also accept to just give away our deen to please people. No, okay. Muslims, to them, life and death are the same. Life and death are the same. Because we believe it's all in the hand of Allah. It's all written. No one going to die before his day. And if Allah Ta'ala has written in the Rijal book that so and so will be jailed in a prison in any of the Kufar countries, he's not going to say to them that to avoid that, even we smile at their faces. Allah will make him make a choice for him to be taken and locked up. Don't think that your beard is the only thing going to take you to the prison. This is not correct. This is not correct. We have to be logical. We go to the West and we see these people, even if they are not Muslims so far, but they treat us nicely. They never told me, take off your scarf. They never said that. They never said that to me. They never even said that to my wife to take her face cover off. Wallahi, you just say, excuse me, madam. We want to just make sure of your picture. Will you do it here or we take you to a room? And always my wife say, no, I want to be in private. So we took her to a private place, alhamdulillah. But because we, the Muslim, have this feeling, oh, they are going to be, oh, that's wrong, okay. That's wrong. We have to be nice, honest, gentle when we deal with others, and everyone will respect you. Everyone will respect you. I don't need no one to prove to me any other thing other than that. Because I myself go to the West. I myself go, wallahi, the way you see me here the way you see me there. Some of you have met me there. And I've been to countries alone, and it was this way. And no one said nothing to me. No one said nothing to me. Alhamdulillah. And just to make you know that I never went to the worst before the crisis. No, I just went after the crisis. So no one comes to tell me, oh, but this was before. No, it is after. It is after. Even just last October, I was there. Alhamdulillah, I was treated very gently. And believe me, the speech you hear here is the speech you hear from me there. You go to my website, www.mforall.net, and you hear. It says, the rules of London, the rules of this. Here, I don't change. There is scripture when you don't change your personality to be so and so and so and so. But show the real Islam. Don't fabricate Islam from your mind to be extremist. Or to be, what do you call it? I don't know what you call it. Huh? When he goes to there, it's up to him. His beard and maybe shave it and then wear a suit. They're not a suit, they know you. They know you very well. Once they give you the visa, they know you. They're not stupid. These people are not stupid. They know you very well. Wallahi, in one country, once I arrived there, they got my passport and they asked me one question just to see if I am going to say to speak the truth or not. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to Masjid so and so. And then they started telling me, the chairman is so and so, this, and the invited for this. I said, yeah, exactly. He said, yeah, we'll come forward. Alhamdulillah. When you are open, when you are clean, no one suspects you, no one is just waiting for a Muslim to take and take him to jail. Maybe it can happen, but it's not a phenomenon. It's not something common. But it could happen, someone, like we have Muslims, who even not only the Kufar, who even treat Muslims very badly. You will find non-Muslims treat Muslims and even treat non-Muslims, their own people. This happens. This is human. This is human. But it is not a common thing. So do not just give away your religion only to make them like it. They will not like it. They will not like it. They will only like the true religion, the true Islam. The beautiful religion. And then, I said, this is what the people of knowledge in the past and at the present have said about celebrations. And as we said in Khutbah al-Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ kept repeating this many and many occasions, that every bid'ah is balala. What is the bid'ah? What is the bid'ah? The bid'ah is asking Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, identified it, saying, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does anything that our matter did not come with, what is the matter here? The religion of Islam that Isa salam came with. This is the bid'ah. And he said, وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ إِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ كُلَّ مَحْدَثٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. مُحْدَثَ, something done after his time. That is مُحْدَث. مُحْدَث from the word hadith, meaning new. Anything new to this religion, how we know if it is new? By Mawlid al-Nabawi new, it is now more than 700 years. Is it new? Yes, it is new. It is not compared to our time, it is compared to his time, Sahasa. To his time, to his companion's time. Was it known of them?
If it is yes, then this is the sunnah. If it is no, then this is the bid'ah. Then this is the bid'ah. So we have to avoid it. And from these things that people today are doing is what we receive every Friday, every Thursday, Muharram, every like that. They send text messages, Jum'ah Mubarakah, may Allah, this Friday. What is this? What is this? Have any Friday passed in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? Did Musa sallallahu have a Friday in his life ever or not? If not, if the answer is not, who told us how the khutbah is? Who told us the merits of Friday or the virtues of Friday? So Rasulullah sallallahu used to have a Friday, but he never ever congratulated the Sahaba for. The Sahaba himself never ever anyone, and I challenge anyone can bring me any even weak hadith that the Sahaba used to celebrate or congratulate the Fridays for the Fridays. Now, know that then today text messages, emails, and maybe even congratulations cards sent by mail, maybe Allah Alam. So I said, hear Allah, all people, and grasp and hold the Sunnah of your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you become successful and gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And the second khutbah I began by mentioning that Allah Ta'ala did guide us, this Muslim Ummah, to something to do in the first month of the year. He did not just leave us without nothing, but He, Allah Ta'ala, guided us. As in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, Muslim, that he said, أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم. But this fasting after Ramadan is the month of Allah, which is called Al-Muharram, which is the first month in the year. وأفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الله. And the best prayer after the obligatory prayers is the ninth prayers. What explains the meaning of fasting the whole month of Muharram is what also reported in Sahih Muslim in the face of Abdullah bin Shaqiq, who said that I asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, was Rasulullah sallam fast the whole month, meaning of Muharram, whole month of Muharram? She said, I never come to know him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast any full month except Ramadan. Full month except Ramadan. Now, and he never found in Muharram not fast in the whole month. But he fast in Muharram most of it. Most of the Muharram. But not all of it. Most of it. Now, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us to fast a particular day of this, which is the day of Ashura. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, or as he Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, as in the hadith reported by Bukhari, he said, I have never seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chasing a day for fasting, referring it other than the other days, other than other days, except this day, the day of Ashura, and a month other than this month, meaning the month of Ramadan. Meaning the month of Ramadan. And in the talk of Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Siyam yawm ashura ahtasibu ala Allah an yukaffir as-salat allati qablaha. Fasting the day of Ashura, I wish that Allah ta'ala forgives the year 320. And in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Ibn Abbas said, Amar Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Ashura yawm al-Ashir, as reported by, which is reported by Bukhari and it's sahih. He radiallahu anhu said that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina first, he saw the Yahud fasting the day of Ashura, and he asked him, what is this day? They said, this is is a good day that in which Allah Ta'ala survived and protected Bani Israel from their enemy. So Musa fasted this day, and then the Prophet said, I have more right with Musa than you. Because Musa is a prophet, he's Muslim, and Rasulullah is a prophet, and we are Muslims, so we have more right than them. Because they did not follow Musa, but we follow Musa. Are we following Musa or not? We are following Musa, Isa, Yunus, Ishaq, Idris, all the prophets, we follow them. You cannot be a Muslim. And we mean by follow them, you follow the aqeedah that they came with, which has no any difference from what Muhammad SAW came with. Even the Yahud have opposed the aqeedah of Musa, as well as the Christians opposed the aqeedah of Isa. But we follow the aqeedah of all the prophets and messengers. We love them all. And we always ask Allah Ta'ala. And Ahmad, Imam Ahmad reported, as Imam Ibn Hajar said in his book Fath al-Bari, he reported on the authority of Ibn Abbas this hadith with extra statement. He said, and this as Ibn Hajar says, this statement, which is extra yani, than the what in Bukhari, it says that it clarifies the reason why the Yahud used to fast the Ashura. He said that the conclusion of it is that this day is the day in which Allah Ta'ala had the Ark of Noah alayhi salam to settle on the mountain of Al-Jubay. So Noah fasted this day, and Musa as well, as a way of thanking for Allah Ta'ala. In Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that Yawm Ashura, the day of Ashura, is the day that the Yahud used to take it as Eid, as a day of celebration. Not a day of only fasting, but they used to celebrate. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you Muslims fast. And as in Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said that when the Prophet ﷺ fasted the day of Ashura, and he commanded the Sahaba to fast, this was when, this was on the ninth year of Hijra. On the ninth year. On the tenth. He commanded the Sahaba to fast. Right? On the ninth. And then late on the ninth or early on the tenth, Ramadan was made obligatory. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, whoever wants to fast the day of Ashura, let him to fast. Whoever doesn't, he's not supposed to. It's not obligatory upon him to fast. But then when he fasted the Ashura, On the 11th, he was told that this is the day in which the Yahud and the Nasara they take it as a day of respect, or day that they worship Allah Ta'ala. And so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yani they fasted. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I stay alive until next year, next Muharram, I will fast the ninth, meaning adding it to the tenth. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away on the 11th year of Hijrah, right in Rabi' al-Awwal, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal of the 11th year of Hijrah, peace be upon him, passed away, and it was Monday. And by that we know that it is better to fast the 9th and the 10th, which this year, year 14, 32 of the Hijra calendar, going to be, the 9th going to be Wednesday, next Wednesday, the coming Wednesday, and the 10th is going to be Thursday. So the best is to fast this coming Wednesday and Thursday. If you can't, if you say it is difficult for me, it is this, it is that, you can fast Thursday and Friday as the 10th and the 5th. Right? If you can't, you can fast only Thursday, which is the 10th, which is the 10th. But the saying that says that you fast the 3 days, although some great ulama, like the Mufti today, say, I mean, this, but it is not the opinion of many others, like the Mufti before him, Sheikh Rumbaz, as well, he would not use to say that fasting 3 days is the best. As the hadith of fasting the day before it and the day after it is a weak hadith. It's a weak hadith. So, if you want to fast, if you want to, I don't want to say celebrate, but if you want to give some kind of special, yani, a special act to this month, you do like Rasulullah Sallam did. Fast, not all of it, but most of it, if you want. If you can't fast, most of it, at least fast the 10th of it, added to the 9th before it or the 11th after. Ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala Musahib. If there is any question related to the topic of today. Now? Yes, it is from the Prophet. Yes, it is from the Prophet. Okay. What? Okay, what you wear over your head, is it from the Prophet? What you wear? What do they call it? What do you call this? An Arab, what do they call it? Yeah. Bakriya. Okay. This is what I want. This thing was known during the time of Rasulullah Sallam, but they never used to know it called Bakriya or Kufiya. They used to call it Ulum Suwa. Today people do not call it Ulum Suwa. What changed is the name only. This one was known during their time. This is one type of the imama. This is one type of the imama. The Arab used to have different types of imama. Different types of imama. Turban. Different types. One of them is this, and they call it khimar. And they call it khimar. Alright? So, this is known during the time of Rasulullah said. Yes, he did not use to wear most, but he used to wear turban that he folded around his head. But this is one of these imamas that they used to use. Right? And they so it's known to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it was not used to known as a soul, because the word soul in Arabic is known, and you find it in any clothes that you wear, they call it soul. And floral of it here. It means clothes. The word clothes, even in English, does not give you specific type of clothes. But it is clothes. This one used to be called kameez. Today, the people of Yemen call the shirt kameez. The shirt, they call it kameez. But when you go back to the vocabulary of the old days,
like a Kamus and Mahir or the Sun Arab or whatsoever, and you open to the world Khamis, it does not tell you that it covers only half of the body. But it is something that covers all the body. That is today called Thawb. So the change of the name does not change the meaning of it. Does not change the meaning of it. So this thing, although today it is called Thawb, it is known as Khamis during the time of Rasulullah. And it used to have buttons. And as in the hadith, he used to open his buttons sometimes in the summer, and also the ulama during that time, they said that one of the signs of the Khawarij is that they are always opening buttons, always, whether it is winter or summer or whatsoever. That is one of their signs that they have the symbolship. So this type of cloth is known at that time, but the name was different. The name was different. That is the only thing. So today, this way of clothing, I did not mean exactly this. But I mean the Muslim clothes. The Muslim identity. Pakistani clothes, Turkish clothes, Nigerian clothes. They have their own clothes. But it's not something specific for kuffar, like the suit. Although some of the kuffar, they have their own clothes, the like of the Scottish. They have their skirting, but it's a kind of history today on the project. They don't wear it. And when any one of them wears it, everybody, although he's from it, but they look what's happening today. They check. What is it? Is it 25th of December? Because they don't wear it since that day. They don't wear it since that day. And they're the only ones remaining using these clothes which are inherited as a culture. But they all today wear this clothes that distinguish them and their identity. It shows their identity clearly. So I say, we also need to take our identity. It is very beautiful clothes, whatsoever. The Turkish, the Pakistani, the African clothes. You know? But we should not just be imitating the kuffar. We should not just be imitating the kuffar. Allah Akbar. Now, was similar to the clothes of the non-Muslims. Was a man from the Arabs. Okay? And he used to wear their clothes. Now, the Quran did not give us a style of clothing. The Quran did not tell us a style of clothing to say, oh, this is only for the Muslims. But since Rasulullah used to wear this, it's regardless for the Muslims, because Rasulullah used to wear it. Because Rasulullah used to wear it. And whenever it is not specific, now, when I say, for example, when I say, the African clothes, you know, the African, the big clothes of the world open. Is it only the Muslim African world? No, it's all. It's all. But the majority of Muslims is not distinguished. Today it is distinguished. Wherever you go, and it's tremendous that we see Arabs when they go there, they need these clothes and they wear that. Why? It is just to be seen like one of them. It is just to be seen like one of them. And they think that this clothes shows that you are very traditional. People know nothing about
what do you call that? I'll be out.
No, about yani, advanced life. No, you are not modernized. And I said that even 2 days ago, I said that, wallahi, I know, I wish a man walked here in this airport for more than 20 years, wallahi, he used to ask us how to operate the computer. He's not that tall. He said, age of mine. He did not know how to make an email. Many of them like that. I'm more advanced than them. Even in the technology that they made. Not all of them. And I think something, what should I say here? They are those of missionaries. Not the, as they call the term world or. And many aspects. I don't want to get into that too deep, but I mean, everyone can see what's going on. What they claim is their rights. This is their rights. Everyone claims that he's the best. No problem. But what I object is when the Muslims claim that we are traditional and they are advanced. This is not acceptable at all. If this particular person who's Muslim wants to be traditional, it's up to him. But not, it is not claimed that the Muslims are very traditional people who do not know nothing about modern life. No. It's totally incorrect. And many of you, and many Muslims, Muslims or non-Muslims, when they came first to Saudi Arabia, they get shocked. Not today, wallahi, we have recordings for some of their authorities who came to Saudi Arabia in early days and they were shocked. They said, we thought that people here are only living in sins and having all their comfort. But they came and saw, found that even more convenient than this. I claim that here it is more convenient than this. Here at least we have big houses, we have, although our country is very hot, but we have air conditioning. You guys there in the summertime, you might sweat a lot, you know? I mean, why we insist that we are behind? Why? It is not because of style of life. Our style of life is very advanced. But it is because the feeling that our religion is making us bad. And that's why when we are here, we wear this clothes because religion and love. When we go there, we change. Why? Because we think that is the way there. So, this is the problem. Why do we think that our religion is the reason for us being held at bad? Why? Although our religion is obligating on us to look for the advanced life. Religion did not tell us to stay behind. No, religion told us to make use of anything good in a good way. In a good way. I'm alive.